Hello everyone and welcome to Me, Myself and 40K with me, your host, Inquisitor Archer, known on the internet. So first of all, a happy new year to everyone. I hope you enjoyed a nice Christmas and a new year into this new year of 2022. We are getting closer to the year of the 40K or the 41st millennium. What have we got on this, well, this new podcast, the first podcast for 2022. So as usual, we'll have updates. So all the new updates for the past few weeks, 40K. We've got quite a few to go through with all kinds of sisters, inquisitors, Aldari, etc, etc. We'll have our battle report. So our Drukhari versus Sisters of Battle, which is actually a few weeks old now, but nonetheless, you'll get that battle report. Our chat along about a particular subject. And obviously, I think the best part of all, we have obviously lastly, but not least, the quizzes with the Mizzes with my wonderful, my amazing, my beautiful partner, Amber. So what more could you want on a podcast? So we'll get straight to it. Right, so for the updates for the last few weeks, as I'm looking at my notes now, so there's a few things obviously that we already know, which probably you already know, by this time this podcast comes out. Well, we've known for quite a while now, the next codexes, which obviously should be by this time, would be for up for pre-order. And obviously they are the Genestealer Cult, yeah, and the Golden Boys, the Adeptus Custodes. So basically I have no interest in either of those. However, obviously there are a few obviously boxes coming out. This is the box, I can't remember it's called, the something throne or something, I don't know. The Shadow Throne, that's it. Shadow Throne with the Sister Silent, the new custodian, like Lieutenant HQ model, I think. I can't remember it's called. And then you've got the Genestealer Cult and you get the new, is it Saboteur? Saboteur model. Fair enough. Going on, the volume 4 or the issue 4 for the new Sisters comic. I have not had a single issue yet, but I will probably try and get this one. Or I'll try and look at getting those issues because they do look pretty good. They are by Marvel as well, so they are pretty well, you know, written and obviously drawn, I guess, as well. So look forward to that. And obviously the sister named character, which I can't remember her name, goes with V, Valerian or something like that. Can't remember. And her adventures with her sisters. Then we come to some of the other ones, which are kind of like, ooh, interesting. So we know now that we are getting a new box set. So the Eldar, Craftwell Eldar, and Chaos Space Marines are having a showdown with the, is it Eldric, I think it's called Eldric Omens box set. So that looks quite a good box set with the new plastic. Basically, all the Eldar models are new, and they're all plastic. So you've got the new plastic Guardians. You get an Atriarch or something like that? Atriarch or something like that? The leader, basically. Equivalent to like a captain, basically. And then you get the new Rangers, which look pretty cool. I do say so myself. And also you get the new, I can't remember what they're called, but basically they're Rangers on bikes. Shadow Runners, I think they're called as well. That's Shadow Runners. And basically it's a two-man bike, like the Harlequins have. And it's one driving and then one back with basically a Ranger with a sniper on the back, which sounds weird, but I think looks pretty cool. Well, they're like chameleon cloaks and they're chaps and stuff like that. Pretty good. And obviously on the other side of things, you get the new Chaos Marines, which some of them are new, one's not, which is obviously it's the Forge Fiend or the Mauler Fiend or whatever you want to make it. But the one model I do like in that, and I'm not really a Chaos big fan, but I do like the new Warp Smith because he kind of looks very Primaris-y, but I do like it. Like he's got all like his tendrils, like his mechadendrites and like his clawed like mechadendrites and like, you know, tentacle like Dr. Octopus sort of type. So he looks pretty cool and looks pretty gnarly. And then you get like a box of five like chosen marines or sort of Chaos Chosen, which basically like veteran Chaos Marines basically. And you can give them all kinds of stuff like pair lightning claws or combi weapons, or I think you can give them heavy weapons, I think. I don't know, but I haven't seen the box set properly. So most of them have got like chain swords or power weapons or chain axes and plasma pistols, as you do as Chaos. So yeah, that all looks good. We're getting obviously all the new Elder stuff which are coming out, so that'd be quite good. Including, I did read this on the, as you probably read on the article for the Plastic Eldari Guardians, is they can be made as Eldari Guardians, defenders, all he made the commander, so Defender Guardians, all named as Storm Guardians. So that's when they have, they switch out their shuriken catapults and they get their sort of power blades or chainswords, Aldari chainswords, and then their shuriken pistols. But they have this new thing, this new platform, because normally you can have the Guardian Defenders with like a gun platform. And now you get this thing called a Serpent Scale platform. Now it just looks like, I don't know, just like a big drone basically. But I'm presuming, because it says it defends against being shot at. Well, I'm thinking that's just going to be like a custom force field like the orcs have. So it's going to be like a, you can add it to like your Storm Guardians, and they can have almost like a custom force field drone all the time. If it's going to be a 6-up invulnerable save, it's going to be a 5-up invulnerable save, it's going to be on a 4-up, you just negate wounds. Don't know what it's going to be. It could be any of those things, or it could be all of those things. We don't know. Knowing GW, it's going to be really good, or it's going to be really shit. So I'm going with it's going to be like a custom force field, and you can get like a 6-up, 5-up field, a 6-up, 5-up sort of invulnerable save against, you know, the unit that it's with, I think. But like I said, it could be anything. Yeah. And the last thing I want to talk about quickly is the one thing which I'm quite excited about. Well, kind of half excited about, because it's a new model. However, with the store anniversaries, there was two new models. There's one for Age of Sigmar, which is a cruel boy boss called Hog something. But the one that we want to talk about is the 40k model, which is a new Inquisitor model from the Ordo Malleus. However, it just says Ordo Malleus, but you could easily use this. You could easily use this model as any order, because it's just an Inquisitor model at the end of the day. You know, unless he has specific special rules, which I don't think he will. He can be used as any Inquisitor, really. And I can't really pronounce his name, but I'm going to give it a go. And I think it's called, I think it's pronounced as Esmerus Cartvalinus. Cartvalinus, I believe. Obviously, I'm dyslexic and I can't read stuff, so whatever. So yeah, he looks pretty good. He's obviously got a force sword, and he's got like his, I like how he's got like a bionic hand, which I quite like when they show like certain characters with like, you know, bionics or, you know, bionic leg and stuff like that. It looks, you can see that they've fought and, you know, they've lost a limb or half their skull or something like that. And I do like how he's portrayed with his big cloak and stuff, usual. The two things I don't like about the model is, one, he's stabbing down into a butt. Now, you can see from the model, if you look on the article itself, it's obviously a demonic book, or, you know, or a book with ruinous powers in it, because like there's like a little ghost wisp, like with screaming, like with this, like a, like with like a mouth and some, yeah, evil eyes on it, like screaming. But it's kind of, it's almost like, oh yeah, he's an Inquisitor of Ordo Malleus. Ooh, but he's stabbing a butt. So it's a bit like, eh, could have done a demon easily, you know, like the new model for the Black Templar Chapter Master, whatever his name is. Yeah. And the other thing I don't like about the model as well, it's got on his backpack, he's got a massive, massive Inquisitor sort of like eye. I mean, yeah, okay, he's trying to, you know, he's trying to show everyone he's an Inquisitor. And obviously he's an Ordo Malleus Inquisitor, so obviously they're the ones which like to shout, not like to sneak, like us. Like us Ordo Xenos players, as it were. So, yeah, I think if I got the model, I would change those two things. I would not put the book on, and I would convert the eye off and put something else on it instead. Maybe like a, I don't know, just something else. But yeah, that's about it, really. So I'm happy that there's going to be a new Inquisitor model. Sisters, I am glad that some factions going to get some nice models in the next sort of few months in this year, this new year. So Chaos and Eldar and stuff like that. So I'm glad for them. So they're going to get some good upgrades, as it were. And apart from that, we'll move on to the battle report. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode. And it's now time for our battle report. So, nobody doesn't know already, what I do is I alternate between each episode, one for a story time, where I write a small sort of script story detailing like person or a character, you know, or an alien or something from an army, which obviously the battle report's about. And obviously last time it was a sister superior, so from the viewpoint of a sister superior of a Dominion squad fighting against the Jakari. So obviously the battle report is a Jakari versus Sisters of Battle. and my friend James took on the Chikari as usual, and I chose to take on the Sisters of Battle. Yes, it's quite good because obviously recently in the last few months, we've had the box set of the Sisters versus Chikari, the Piety and Pain. So yes, it's quite good to see that. And also it's nice to sort of dust off the Sister Battle and not use Death Watch for once, Space Marines. So it's quite nice to get the Sisters out. Without further ado, leading on from the last episode of the story time, I'll now do the battle report, and I will go over obviously sort of the both the army lists and also go over what secondaries we had, what primaries we had, what sort of battle we used, and deployment and all that stuff. Without further ado, I will first of all go over all the army stuff. Sorry, all the war stuff. So from the rules, so the 40k 9th edition rules, we decided to do an internal war. It's an incursion because it was about 1,000 points. So the mission we did was called Crossfire. For the Crossfire rules, there was four objectives in each table quarter, and they're labeled A and B. And basically, the primary objectives were taken hold, progressive. So from the second battle round, because you can't obviously score points in the first battle round, you get 5 victory points up to 15. If you control one or more objectives, 2 more objectives, or if you can control more objectives than your opponent does. And then secondary, there is a progressive outflank one, which you didn't actually do. We picked our own secondaries. And I believe, I've got written down here, James picked for his Chikari Herd the Prey. Now, I can't remember which one, I can't remember what that was. So I think it was something to do with killing things, I presume. And then for the Sisters, I took just did the generic assassinate, because actually I brought two assassins, official assassinorum assassins, with my army, which is kind of illegal, but hey ho, it's a friendly game, so whatever. So I picked assassinate to kill his characters. That's the mission, the objectives. Then the deployment. We did the deployment that was obviously on the actual mission itself, which was search and destroy. So basically the table was split up into quarters, and we both had a quarter each opposite one another. So obviously wherever I set up, obviously James would have to be opposite me. And obviously then we had the whole table quarter. Apart from a center, there's a 9-inch sort of circle in the center. So basically it kind of cut like a sort of a slight semicircle from our sort of quarter edge. And then the objectives were placed in all four quarters, 10 inches away from the middle center line. So yes, that was the setup. That was the mission. There were the objectives. So now we will go over the army lists themselves. So first of all, I'll go over the Chikari. It was a 1,000-point list, and James managed to bring out a battalion detachment. He had a real space raid from the Chikari, obviously Codex. And so he had three different things. So obviously he had Cabal, he had Homunculi or Coven, and then he had obviously the cultists or the witch cults, as it were. So for his obsession, he obviously picked Valor of the Black Heart. The Homunculus Coven, he picked Dark Technomancers. And for the Witch Cult, he picked the Berserk Fuge or something like that. So for his HQs, he had three. He had an Archon with a Blast Pistol and a Power Sword. And it took the Splinter Genius for an upgrade. And I can't remember the war traits he had. Or relics. His Homunculus, he had one Homunculus with the upgrade of Alchemical Maestro. And obviously it had Homunculus Tools, Echo Injector, Scissor Hands, and a Stinger Pistol. And then the last HQ was a Succubus, obviously with a Glaive and a Blast Pistol. And obviously she had the generic, I think it was like the Stimadict Addict, which was you roll two dice and basically have two drugs for her, as it were. So then they had troop choices. They had I'm going to say this really wrong now, aren't I? They had a Hemonoxite. 5 of them with an upgrade of a hex rifle and an ossifactor, so basically 2 rifles. And then we had 10 Calibite Trueborn, so obviously the upgrade of Trueborn, so now they have weapon skill of 2+, which is stupid. Also, they had 2 Shredders and a Dark Lance for their heaviest weapons. Then we had another Calibite Warriors, 5, which no upgrades there. 2 sets of 5 Witches with no upgrades there as well. So actually, yeah, they actually had quite a lot of troops, actually. Huh. Elites, 5 Incubi, obviously with their glaives, or their claves and that. For heavy support, they had a Talos. Transport, he had a Raider with the Dark Lance and Blade Veins. And then a second transport, which was a Venom with a Splinter Cannon and Blade Veins. So yeah, quite a big list. Now, going over the Sister list, I had 997 points, so 3 points off. I chose the order, as I usually do, of the Ebon Chalice, because they're the awesome ones. I had two HQs. I had my Canoness with a plasma pistol and a power sword and a rod of office. I upgraded her with the Emperor's Grace, basically pay 20 points, and basically you get the new rules for these sisters where they get like a special power they can use once. I think Emperor's Grace is the one that she can heal every turn or some stupid like that. Also, I remember I gave her the Ebon Chalice Warlord trait, which is like terrible knowledge. So I think I got like an extra miracle dice or something, or command points or something. And then I picked the relic was the Iron Surplus of Saint something, I can't rename. So basically it's like a 2-up save, and basically she can't be wounded on a 1 to a 3. So basically she can only be wounded on a 4+. Which, to be fair, for Jakari, for poison weapons, didn't really matter, but some of the heavier weapons did. So then my second HQ was a missionary with just a plain old default autogun, autopistol, and chainsword. I had one troops choice. So I had 10 Sisters of Battle, I had a similar Kaonim, I had a Flamer and a Stormbolter, and on the Sister Superior, I gave her a Chainsword. My Elites, I had quite a lot of Elites, but some of these Elites didn't count as unit slots because of certain things. So for instance, my Repentious Superior didn't count as a slot, my Preacher didn't count as a slot, my Crusaders and my Aggro Flagons didn't count as a slot, which is basically all of them. So Sister Repentia, I had 4 of them. And then I had a Repentor Superior with a bolt pistol and obviously her whips. I had a Preacher with the default now Zealots Vindicator, so the one that you get from the Blackstone Fortress thing. So I had her. I had two Crusaders with Power Swords and Crusader Shields. I had 3 Aggro Flagellants, and I upgraded one with Endurant Implants. It gives them an extra strength and extra attack, I believe. Then I had 2 fast attack slots. I had 5 Dominions. 4 with Storm Bolters, and then the Sister Superior, or the Dominion Superior as it were, had a Chainsword and a Combi Plasma for extra pump. Then I had 5 Seraphins, so sisters with a jump pack, and they all had, well, 4 of them had twin bolt pistol or 2 bolt pistols. The Sister Superior had a plasma pistol and a power sword. And the last but not least, I had a Heavy Support, which is a pennant engine with Mistorian Flamers and Buzzsaws. Transport, I had an Immolator with a Heavy Bolter and Immolation Flamers. And then I had 2 Agents of the Imperium, which is 2 Fish Assassinorum Assassins. I had a Calidus Assassin, so that's the polymorphic one. She was armed with obviously her, I can't remember what it's called now. I think it's a Neuron Disruptor or something like that. And then it's just a phase blade, isn't it? It's a Catan phase blade. And then I had the sniper, the Vindicare Assassin with his Exodus rifle and pistol and blind grenades. So yes, there are the 2 lists. Let's start with what happened. So round 1, sisters got initiative. So beforehand, my Dominions, I was going to put them in an emulator, but I thought against it. So what I did is in the emulator, I put actually the ones that could get shot and killed easily. So I put my Repentia, my Missionary, and my Sister, and my Repentia Superior in the emulator. So I had my Dominions out, and then I made them do the 6-inch pre-game move, and I moved them basically towards one of the objectives that I wanted anyway. Round 1 was basically just moving, advancing everything up. I moved my Immolator up, my Dominion, Sisters, my Pennant Engine, and all the other ones. So the only thing that could really shoot was my Immolator. And I managed to get within range of his Calibites, killing 4, which was kind of good. And then my Sister Battle shot, and I killed 2 more Calibites. And then the Dominion shot at the Raider, and actually took 4 wounds off it. Pretty good, actually. Because now those Stormbolters, Artificer Stormbolters, now do 2 damage apiece, which is pretty nice. And then first round, I managed to charge my Pennant Engine into the Talos straight away, and I managed to do 3 wounds. But the Talos fought back and did 4 wounds against my Pennant Engine, almost killing it. Going to the next page, round 1 for Jakari. So, I believe in his Raider, he had his Calibites, and I think his Archon, if I believe. Or he might have had his Incubine Archon. I can't remember. I really can't. And then in his Venom, I think he had some witches and the succubus, I think. I don't think they passed their morale test for last turn. So I think they lost one. Anyway, the Raider moved up, the Talos stayed in combat. His Rax and Homunculus moved up because they were like a little blob behind Talos. And then shooting the Raider and Calibites and the Venom, shot my Immolator doing 6 wounds, bracketing it down to halfway, which is fine. So other Calibite shot my sisters and the racks. Oh yeah, the rack with the, I think one of the hex rifle or the officinator, basically it negates lookout sir. I managed to try and shoot my canis, but failed to wound. Because I think he rolled like a 2 or something like that, or to wound, and he would have wounded normally, but I was like, ah, well, I've got the iron surplus on, the iron like relic on. So then it went to combat, and I believe he did actually charge his racks into the pennant engine. And I think they didn't do any much, but then I think the talismans destroy the pennant engine. So yeah, that was round one completed. Of not much apart from the pennant engine taking damage. So round two, I made my Calidus assassin appear behind his enemy lines. Or I think I already had my Vindicare out anyway to take shots. And then I disembarked my Pencher and my missionary, moving them all up, getting ready for the charge. And I managed to shoot with my sisters on the Talos, which wasn't in combat, but I did manage to wound it. And then I managed to shoot the Incubi, and I killed 3 Incubi, which was pretty good. And then I had my Dominions fire at the radio, because it was the closest model. I didn't do any wounds to it. However, my Vindicare shot his Archon, and I managed to kill his Archon round 2. So I already scored a secondary objective there, which was kind of cool. And then I charged my Repentia into the Talos with my missionary and also my sister, my Repentia superior. Missionary managed to kill 1 Incubi, so there's only 1 remaining now, which is the sergeant or the equivalent, I can't remember what it's called. And the Repentia didn't manage to wound the Talos at all. And then I charged the Calidus assassin into some Calibites and killed 3 of them, which is kind of fun. Fighting back, so obviously on the back, the Talos killed 3 of the Repentia, and the Incubi managed to wound my missionary twice, so she was down to half 2 wounds now instead, so that wasn't very good. But no morale tests to take, and on to round 2 for the Jakari. So the Witches and Succubus disembarked from there, in the Raider, I do apologise, and moved towards the objective on the Dominion squad. The Calibites fell back from the Assassin, the Homunculus healed the Talos for 1 wound, and then shooting-wise, the Raider transport and the Calibites destroyed the Immolator finally. And it didn't explode because I think I could auto-explode it, but I didn't do that because I think my Dominions were too close. Oh, some unit was too close to it, so I was like, nah, sod it. Then the Rack shot my sisters, killing 2 of them. And my Succubus and Witches shot the Dominions, killing 2 of them as well. So my Dominions were a bit down. And so also the Calibites and the Rack shot my assassin, my Calidus assassin, and killed her. Which, you know, whatever. She did her purpose. She distracted them. And then the Witches and the Succubus charged my Dominion squad and killed all of them. Which was not good, because now I lost that objective, which isn't good. And then the last Incubi killed my missionary, so I took off the last 2 wounds. I think James did like something stupid, like 5 or 7 wounds to a missionary. I was like, flipping hell. On to round 3 of these sisters. I used my Crusaders and my Canoness and I moved them up towards the last Incubi and the Racks to take them both on. I was going to do a double charge. I think I was going to try and charge my Canoness into the Incubi and I was going to charge my Crusaders into the Racks to hold them off, because they're not really good at fighting. They're really just good at basically shielding and people. The Battle Sisters continued up the board. Then I dropped my Seraphins down using a stratagem where I could shoot in the movement phase and then I could shoot them again. So then I managed to kill 2 witches. Then in the shooting phase, I managed to shoot them again and then I destroyed the entire witches unit. My sisters shot the Talos, wouldn't get twice. So I think it was the Storm Bolter that wounded it twice, I think. And then my Vindicare, obviously being awesome, then killed his Homunculus outright, just straight outright. But then I think he used the Relic managed to roll for him on a 2-up. Like, he could stand it with 1 wound. I was like, God damn it. So he basically denied me 3 victory points there. Then charges. My Crusaders charged the Incubi with the Canoness, because I think I just managed to just miss the Racks by a few inches or something. And then my Canoness managed to kill the last Incubi, which is kind of cool. So round 3. For Jakari, his Racks moved up towards the Crusaders with the Talos and the Homunculus with his 1 wound left. The Succubus moved towards my Seraphins. The Raider disembarked 5 witches. And then in the shooting phase, the Raider and the Venom, which are still kind of hanging around, fired on my sisters, destroying my Battle Sister squad. I think at that point I only had like 3 or 4 left. Then the Rax tried shooting the Crusaders and the Canoness, but failing to wound them. Good old Crusaders and Canoness. And the Succubus and the Witches fired on my Seraphons, only killing one of them though. I think it was the Succubus's blast pistol. And then charges. The Succubus charged the Seraphons, killing 2 of them. So there's only 2 left. My Sister Superior and 1 more. The Rax charged the Crusaders, killing 1, which isn't very good, because obviously they were being my bodyguard for my Canoness. And then fighting back, I took the Succubus down to a single wound by my Seraphons. And my Crusader managed to kill a single Rax. So it was like, eh, great. And then round 4, which is the last round, because I think we decided that at the end of round 4, this was it. So my Seraphons fell back, but used the stratagem so they could shoot. And some more shuffling around of units next to things. It was all kind of bunched in the middle now and all, like, either in combat or just out of combat and shooting. So I managed to shoot the Seraphons, and I managed to kill 2 of them from the other Witches squad. The Vindicare shot the Succubus and killed it outright. So basically now I almost killed all the HQs now. And then in combat, the Crusaders and Canoness managed to kill 3 more Rax. And the Rax failed their morale. So another one, the last one ran, I think. And then in round 4, Jakari, so this would be the last round of 4. The Venom moved over to the Vindicare Assassin. The Talos and the Homunculus with his one wound still tried to move towards the fight in the middle, but they were too far out. The Raider moved to support other units, so the Witches that were kind of, like, I think there was only 2 or 3 Witches left, moved to the Seraphons. Shooting was mainly shooting the Venom into the Assassin and failed to wound him because of his reflexes. And then charge and combat was the Witches charging the Seraphons, managed to destroy them. The Venom tried and failed to wound the Assassin, and the Rax just tried to kill the Crusaders and the Canoness, but didn't do anything. And then fighting back, nothing really to say. The Assassin failed to wound the Venom, plus the Crusaders managed to fail to wound the last sort of Witches. Sorry, not Witches, Rax. I do apologize. And then we decided that was the end of the battle, because literally we had like little units left of everything. And it was just like, well, the Jakari, it was 1 round left, and the Jakari was already winning on points anyway, so we just decided that the Jakari won with points, as it were. So that was the battle report between the Jakari and the Sisters of Battle. Next battle report / story time will be hopefully one of our first crusadings, because obviously in the last, so we've had 3 battles already, through me and James having a crusade with his Jakari versus my Death Watch on the planet, which I've made up, which I used with the Kill Team for Kill Team, where I had 2 campaigns with my partner Amber, which is very, very enjoyable, with Death Watch versus Harlequins. So my Death Watch are very used to fighting Aldari, certainly the evil ones, so the Harlequins and the Jakari. So yes, it's kind of good. So that's it. And we'll move on to the next section, which will be the chat along. Hi, everyone, and welcome to 40K with me. And now it is obviously chat along. And today we have an old friend, which is Dan, who is going to be talking with me about the subject of Primarchs, our top 3 Primarchs. So, hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hi. Been a while since, I think the last time we spoke was.
Yeah.
Was it Space Marines? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think we talked about Space Marine chapters.
Yes, that was it. Chapters. And we didn't get very far.
No, because you asked me for my top 3 and we got to 2.
Yeah. Right. We are going to do top 3 today. And so, yeah, we're going to carry on with that. So, top 3. So, we'll go from 3rd, 2nd, and then our favourite one. And I think I've already covered my favourite one on another episode, but I'm more than happy to go through it again. You've got your 3, I've got my 3. So, I mean, if anybody doesn't know about Primarchs, obviously they are the... Well, I don't know, Dan, you tell me what a Primarch is.
They are the genetically engineered sons of the Emperor, which then become the genetically engineered fathers of the Space Marines.
Yep, cool. Yeah, that's basically what they are, aren't they? Quick question. I was just saying, like, maybe you should talk as well. Yeah, that's basically what they were, aren't they? And then obviously then when they were all in their little sleeping beds, they all got Chaos intervened and then shot them all into different places, didn't they? And then
who had to grow up and then conquer the world that they were on and then become awesome.
Grown into their own personalities.
Basically, yes. Right, so we're going to start with number three. So my number three is actually going to be the one and only Sanguinius, obviously the chapter master of the Blood Angels. Now, I don't know much about the Primarchs in general, apart from the ones I've kind of sort of seen and read about. But I know Sanguinius, obviously, was very, very loyal. And he was the best friend to Horus, wasn't he? If I believe rightly. Or the most closest to Horus, as it were. Which contradicts that, because Horus is the one that killed him. But obviously, he's known as the Great Angel, isn't he? I think something like that. He's like the angel of the, or like the Emperor's Angel or something like that. I can't remember, something like that. And obviously, he actually has actual wings as an angel. So I'm presuming he's almost like a, what's the name of the actual archangel? Michael, is it? I'm presuming it's almost like an emphasis on that, as I presume, I guess.
Yeah, he's meant to be the sort of bright, holy-looking person, really, isn't he? Like, being, he essentially, you could say he is, like, he's described as an angel, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's meant to be, like, ridiculously, like, beautiful and, like, perfect in every way, isn't he?
Yeah. And he's probably the most fastest, he's the fastest Primarch as well, I believe. He's very, very fast, because obviously there are instances where it's referred to, like, you know, the speedest one, Sanguinius, and that's actually in the new Space Marine Codex, is actually a, what's it called, a warlord trait that you can take for a Blood Angel warlord, and it's the speed of Sanguinius, where you can fight first, basically.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Obviously, you all know that he's got his wings and stuff. I don't know much more. Like, I don't know actually. I don't. Maybe you know more about it, but I don't know actually how he, like, obviously he grew up in Baal, didn't he? But I don't know what actually happened to him. Like, how, you know, how he grew up or anything about his sort of upbringing, as it were. And other ones I do know about their upbringing and stuff. So shed light on that. You want?
No, Sanguinius is one of those I actually don't know about.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, in general, I don't really know much about Baal either. So I don't know how that affects him in a way. But I mean, obviously, as you say, he's got actual wings. So I don't know if that's something, because all the other Primarchs don't have sort of stuff like that. So I don't know if that's something to do with, like, his genes or something that happened to him on White Ball.
Sorry, yeah, I'm just trying to find out some information as I'm doing this.
Isn't he meant to be, like, the best swordsman, though?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe he is supposed to be, like, the best swordsman.
Really difficult to judge, because every Primarch is described as being really good.
Yeah, certainly, like, Lionel John. Dorn.
Fulgrim.
Yeah, Fulgrim's supposed to be a really good swordsman, isn't he? Because
Fulgrim's, like, the first one to actually kill another Primarch. He fucking takes Manus's head off.
Oh, he does, doesn't he? I forgot about that. Yeah. Anyway, I think we should just leave Sanguinius as he is, because, you know, obviously the only thing we do know is obviously the Horus Heresy. Obviously, he went to stop Horus for the Emperor, because of the Emperor was obviously making his way over, going, like, oh, okay, maybe I should deal with Horus then. And obviously, he went and got that first, and then obviously, then Horus killed him.
Yep. Yeah. Which pissed off the Emperor.
Very much. Anyway, what's your number three then, Dan?
My number three would be Angron, which, like you and Sanguinius, I don't really know much about lore-wise. I just know he's awesome from a point of view of he's just this, like, rage-filled killing machine.
Yeah, basically like an angry Wolverine on cocaine, basically, isn't he?
It's sort of like if you combine the Hulk and Wolverine, I imagine is what you get, like, from Angron.
Yeah, basically. On, like, yeah, stimmed up on, like, every known drug.
Yep.
But yeah, because you said to me, because I didn't know this, but obviously he's a pit fighter. He was a gladiator or something, wasn't he? So.
Yeah, he was like a pit fighter I'm going to say the planet he came from, because I actually don't remember the name of it. He was
Nuceria?
Yeah, as I say, he was basically raised up to be like an amazing pit fighter, because obviously all the Primarchs are just amazing at fighting anyway. And then because obviously it's a world of sort of gladiator pit fighting type stuff, they're all just like stemmed up on drugs, which, you know, you give a Primarch, which is essentially something that's meant to be unkillable anyway, and pump it off on a bunch of drugs, and you get Angron.
You get Angron.
Also, just visually, he's really cool because he's, you know, he's got his like twin chain axes.
Oh God, yeah. Is it? Are they called something? I can't remember the call. Are they? They must have a name.
Yeah, they do. I honestly don't remember. I'm trying to think of it, but all I can like imagine in my head is like his literal model, where he's like just charging with like both his axes like drawn.
yeah, basically, yeah. But yeah, he's what's he got? Because you said that. Well, I know that the only thing I know about is he's the Butcher's Nails, which is some implant that he had. I don't know much about that either.
Pretty sure it's meant to like control like his rage or some shit, isn't it? Like that, or it sort of pops him up.
Oh, okay, right.
Obviously, doesn't really work because he's, you know, him and the entire Legion just sort of want to kill everything and everyone. There's like a bit at the start of the Horus Heresy where there's a squad of World Eaters that are with like some Ultramarines and I want to say Space Wolves. And like all they want to do is sneak onto like a ship that are owned by the Word Bearers to figure out what they're doing. But like the entire mission fails because the World Bearers just go on, the World Eaters just go on a like this massive kill spree. And then obviously
oh, hilarious.
You got like these like really well trained like Ultramarines like sneaking around just knocking people out, like same with like the Space Wolves, and then you've just got the World Eaters just running around like with chain axes like fuck off, get out of the way.
Rage. That's quite funny actually. Right, so we're going to number two, who for me, and I think I've spoken to him about before in another podcast, and I think the Death Guard. I spoke to him about Mortarion. Mortarion is a very strange character, I believe. He doesn't really like the Emperor, does he? Or he's not very, because certainly after what happened to him, when obviously he was on his world, and obviously, you know, he became like leader of it and all that stuff. And then the Emperor came, and then he said, oh, if you know, you're so good. He had to go and fight like the Lord, the last warlord of like the realm, as it were. But it was in like a toxic area, because obviously where he's from, is it Barbarous? Is it Barbarous?
Yeah, Barbarous, yeah.
Barbarous. The higher levels are like smog and in like really bad poisonous gas and shit like that. So all of the warriors and things fight in like armor, which is like almost like, it was like basically space marine armor, isn't it? It's all sort of vacuum sealed and shit. But obviously he goes to a part where it's like it's so bad that like literally his armor rusts to fuck, and then that's why he gets his wound where like it's like his lungs and stuff, isn't it? Like he just gets absolutely wrecked. And then obviously then when he's trying to go and fight this last dude on his planet, the dude comes out and goes like, oh, you know, you failed. And then the Emperor comes in, steps over his body, and then just like, you know, kills the other guy, you know, so simply. And I think from then, like, that's when Mortarion was just like, yeah, he just didn't like him at all, did he? And I just like the way Mortarion is. I think I read the whole thing of him growing up into, like, growing up on Barbarous. And, you know, it's very, very hard because obviously he grew up as, you know, like, fending for himself. And then obviously then he helped some villagers from, you know, the struggling the warlords that were fighting each other. And obviously then he made a revolution, didn't he? And obviously then he fought for everyone. But yeah, it's kind of funny. And then obviously then he turns to the obviously chaos, as it were. So
no, because I say like obviously the Emperor comes in and like kills him, because isn't the last warlord the guy that originally takes him in when he gets like walked into Barbarous? Yeah. It's basically he's like father figure in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Emperor's like, oh, like if you can join me if you can kill him. And then it sort of pisses him off that he doesn't get to prove himself.
Basically, yeah.
But then afterwards, when the Emperor takes him in, like all the other Primarchs don't really like him either, because obviously there's at least like between like most of them, like at least one of them has like a really good connection with the other one. Whereas Mortarion, like everyone's like, yeah, just piss off, mate.
Yeah, basically, yeah. They all have like a close friend or close brother. When like Mortarion's just like the quiet, silent one in the background, isn't he?
He's like the black sheep, but like anytime they're all like on a planet together, they're all like talking and he's just sat in the corner by himself, like, yeah, all right, I'll just sit over here.
Yeah, basically. So I think the reasons why I do like Mortarion is because, you know, he is segregated, and the fact is that he's really put back by, you know, his whole thing about the Emperor taking like, you know, his whole thing, you know, like to prove himself to him. And like he just took that away from him like that. And it's just like I actually feel bad for him. Yeah, and also the fact that they become, you know, a demon Primarch, and you know, and I've just got like massive Nurgle wings, like fly wings, and he's just like spreads sickness and everything everywhere. Don't like that Mortarion, but the previous Mortarion I do like. And obviously, he's got a cool weapon as well. He's got his big
scythe,
his big Reaper scythe. So yeah, sorry, your number two
would be Corvus Korax. Which,
of course,
the Primarch of the Raven Guard.
Sneaky, sneaky boys.
Have they ever seen them? Because no one else has.
I'm going to say now, you can talk as much as you want. I don't know nothing about Korax. Don't know anything.
Once again, I'm really hopeless at remembering planet names, because I don't remember the planet that he grows up on.
I can quickly look. He grew up on a barren moon called Licarius. Is it Licarius?
Yeah.
Lycoris.
Yeah, I think it's Lycoris. It's meant to be sort of sounds like warmth in a way, doesn't it? Really, when you think about it, like that version of it.
So it's a barren. It's a barren moon.
I mean, it's a barren moon, but it's basically got a bunch of little like street gangs that all value like stealth and stealing to survive.
Okay.
And then obviously Korax being quite literally better than everyone from being genetically gifted with stealth.
Yeah.
Can quite literally disappear and just make everyone around him not even realize he's there through his spirit walk ability.
Oh, so obviously it's just a natural thing, is it? Spirit walk. Okay, I didn't realize.
Yeah, I've read like a few books with like Raven Guards it, and like obviously everyone describes things differently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I can't tell if it's like a psychological thing where they essentially penetrate your mind so you don't realize they're there.
Oh, okay.
That's like the way I always interpreted it, but I could be wrong, because one of the more recent books I've read, it has like the Eldar, and one of the chapter masters like using his like spirit walk ability, but obviously the Eldar have like really strong minds, don't they?
Oh, of course, yeah.
So like they like sort of like feel that someone's watching them and they're like looking for him, but they still don't see him. But like they can sense that he's there.
Oh, okay, right.
But yeah, so Korax is obviously as stealthy as they come, even compared to say like Alpharius.
Alpharius, no one knows who he is.
Yeah, Alpharius does not know who he is. Korax, you just literally can't see him. But when you do see him, he's like the description of like how he looks. It kind of sounds really scary, doesn't it? Because he's like ridiculously pale white with ridiculously dark black hair and black eyes.
Sounds like the Crow.
Or maybe even a Raven.
Raven, yeah, of course, yeah. But I mean, he sounds a description of like the Crow, the super character, so, you know, super heroes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because he's, I don't know, I think if you would see him, you wouldn't want to see him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's just like a really cool character. I think it's more my love of just sort of stealthy characters in general, rather than any lore-wise, but I don't know. I think him and like the Raven Guard are just cool.
Yeah. I didn't know much about the Raven Guard until I started reading. Well, I didn't know much about the Raven Guard at all until I actually read the Death Watch one, where it's the librarian, I can't remember his name, but he's a Death Spec. No, is it a Death Spec? Yeah, Death Spec.
Hmm.
Obviously, they're a successor chapter of the Raven Guard. And obviously, in his team, he does actually have a Raven Guard. And I need to start doing research about the Death Specters, because they're pretty strange chapter as well. But yeah, I just like the concept of them being very stealthy, and obviously it's more to do with, because obviously they totally go against because the Codex, don't they?
Yeah.
Obviously they're like, yes, we're Space Marines, we wade into battle with bright colors as our armor and shoot things and kill things and stab things, crush things. When they're like, no, how about we wear black and we just stealth through and kill things?
Like their fighting style, isn't it? It's like, it's weird because Raven, like obviously they do fight like normal Space Marines, but they're just like, you know, they'll be in the field with the bolter, but they're very sneaky. They're like ambush. They're more sort of ambush than stand and fight sort of chapter.
Yeah,
but it's the fact that like they're more specialist like units and stuff.
Mm.
It's like it's either lightning claws and ridiculously close combat.
Mm. Yeah,
or they have like sniper squads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's almost like they excel at both, like melee and range, but extreme, as you say.
Yeah.
And
obviously a lot of jump pack use, because Korax has his own jump pack, which have like the huge metal wings on it, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, of course he does. Yeah, I forgot about that, actually, yeah. Doesn't he have, like, twin lightning claws or something like that? Does he have lightning claws?
The lightning claws that the Raven Guard Chapter Master has lightning claws.
Shrek or Shriek or whatever.
Yeah, Shriek or Shriek, yeah. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either. Oh, so but, his lightning claws were the Primarchs.
Yeah, and they have a specific name, and I'm trying. I know it, but every time I talk to you about anything Warhammer, I'm never.
Well, I do the same. I go blank. I'm like, oh fuck, what's it called?
I think it's really simple. I think they're genuinely just called the Raven's Talons.
The Raven's Talons. I think you're right. You know, I think you're right. I mean, I do like the Raven Guards. I mean, like I said, I think I like the Death Specters more. I don't know. I just find it really weird because like they have that. I don't want to go into it again, but. They have that like chair which their chapter master has to sit on, and it like drains them away, sort of thing. And it's just like that's weird. Very sort of like keep themselves.
Yeah.
Right. So my number one is another bad guy. Well, I don't think he is a bad guy, but he technically is because he's Chaos. But it's Conrad Cruz, obviously the chapter master of the Night Lords. Now, I like this guy because, I think I've said this before in another episode, is he's basically like Batman. He's basically a bigger, badder, more gruesome version of Batman. And because he's called the Night Haunter, he is literally the Dark King of basically his entire night world, which I forget the name. It's like Neuro or something. I can't remember what it's called. It's like a night world, isn't it? And it's, Nostromo.
Yeah, it's something that reminds me of Nostradamus.
yeah. But I just love how he came, and obviously he had to crawl out of his own, as a child, crawl out of his own thing, because obviously his pod, like, smashed into the center of this world, and he had to fucking find his way out the center of the fucking world. Climb out of the fucking abyss and then into this other world, dark world of abyss, which basically was just full of murder, rape, gangs, you know, killing, everything like that. And he was like, I don't like this. I'm going to deal something about it. And he did. And now then everybody on the world, like at one point was like, oh, don't do anything. Don't even drop a pencil because the Night Haunts will come and rip your ass out of your face. So yeah, you know, he's such a cool Primarch, and I like the fact is that, as you know, the fact is that he was like, oh yeah, I've done something bad. At the very end, when he gets killed, he's like, yeah, I've done something bad, I'll just wait for the assassin to come and kill me. And he lets the assassin kill him. He's just like, I like the portrayal of hearing this in like other people's like YouTube videos and things like that. I'm like, what would the sort of the conversation between the assassin and him would have been like? It would have been, I think it would have been rather intense, but it would put like almost like an emphasis of like, you know, the Emperor kills everyone, basically, you know, I'm not the only one, sort of thing, you know. So
I think Cruz is a good choice for number one. He's like he's a genuine, really interesting character, because of the way you described it. You said that he like lands in the middle of the planet and essentially, and he has to crawl out of an abyss, but then obviously he goes sort of psycho, like genuinely like mind fucked psycho. So he essentially starts his story climbing out of the abyss, and then he slowly falls back into a different sort of abyss.
Yeah,
he knows he's fucked up. So as you say, he like, lets the assassin kill him at the end. But before that, he fucking captures Salamander guy.
Oh, Vulcan, yeah.
And like tortures him, and he's like, "Join me, please." I'm like, "I'm not trying to do this." He's like, "I just want some help, please."
Please help me.
So like, even though he does end up on like, as you say, the Chaos side, he wants to redeem himself, but like obviously like he genuinely can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just the fact is that he's so like, I mean, you see him at like some pictures, and it's just like he looks so fucking creepy. I mean, he's basically like a Raven guy. He's like Raven guy because he's pale and like dark, long hair and like, you know, like the jagged teeth and stuff like that. He just, you know, just reminds you of like.
He's sort of vampire-esque, basically, isn't he? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's basically, I guess whoever wrote the story about him, I guess that they kind of, maybe they would have used things like Dracula and other things like that as a reference to make him, I guess. But yeah, I think he is such a cool character. I think he's so cool. The way, like you say, he is a messed up guy, but then he brings almost, you know, world peace to that world, you know, Nostromo or whatever it's called. And like, you know, nobody can do anything because they're all fucking scared of this one dude who's going to come and like rip their spine out of their ass, basically, and then display it on display, you know, for everyone to see. I just think he's such a cool character. I really do. I think he's so cool. But then I don't like Night Lords. I think Night Lords are shit. But I think he is such a good character.
Yeah, the Night Lords in general are just weird. Like, especially like later on, where you know they become chaos, so they can't just build, but they still have to find new recruits, and they essentially just send a bunch of people on the planet onto like this arena, and whoever's last alive becomes the Night Lord.
Basically, yeah. But it's the fact is that, because obviously when he dies, like obviously when they all go into the warp and stuff, and but the Night Lords are very, as you know, they're very split up, aren't they? They're very sort of, and they don't know who's in charge, because there's no like chapter Chaos Lord or the Night Lord that don't, and they all fight amongst one another as well. So it's just like, but I do like obviously like the concept of I like that color scheme, which is like the lightning blue and stuff like that. And I like the concept that they use, like, because obviously on tabletop based, they normally have lots of things to do with like making people breaking morale or, you know, causing terror and things like that, which I think is a really good concept. If you could build around it, an army around it, it'd be very, very, very clever. But yes. Lastly, but not least, shall we talk about your number one, Mr. Primarch?
We shall. But before I reveal who it is, the way that you and me have been talking back and forth about this has had me thinking, looking at a few of the ones we've chosen. And you see how a few of the Primarchs are very similar. Because as you mentioned, Cruz is sort of like Korak, like the sort of pale, sort of fly-around, stealthy-ish. But then, you know, Cruz just goes mental and terrorizes people anyway. But I feel that Cruz, being one that goes to chaos, and being interesting that you chose this other character, is essentially the opposite of what Sanguinius is.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think of it like that, but yeah, you kind of, yeah. Because Sanguinius is all the pure and, you know, helping everyone and, you know.
He's like the shining light that sort of stands above all, whereas Cruz is this guy that sort of hides in the shadows, just scaring the shit out of everyone.
Yeah. But I didn't even think about it like that.
If I was thinking about it myself, I wouldn't. But because I've been listening to you talk and me like talking back to you, I'm like, wait a minute, I just sort of had this realization. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No worries. Yeah, of course. Yeah. No worries.
But another sort of not quite direct comparison. We said that Cruz is essentially based off a vampire.
Yep.
My top choice would be Russ, which is essentially just a werewolf.
Yay! Good old Lehman Russ.
Because also like Cruz, he has little fangs.
So yeah. the Wolf King himself.
The Wolf King, the Emperor's executioner.
Oh yes, his executioner. Sorry, I'm crying now.
Actually, I mentioned earlier when we were talking about Sanguinius, I said that Fungrim was the first Primarch to kill another Primarch. But unofficially, it suggested that it's Russ, because obviously there's two Primarchs that are destroyed before they're even found.
Oh, of course, yes.
And it's suggested that that's where Russ gets the Emperor's Executioner nickname from, because it's sort of suggested that he's the one that killed the other two.
Oh, really? I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, the first sort of, well, what was meant to be the first sort of Primarch on Primarch fight with before Fungrim happened was obviously Russ gets sent to arrest Magnus.
Yeah.
But there's a bit before he gets sent where he's having a conversation with, I can't remember who it's another Primarch he's having a conversation with, and they essentially say, oh, of course he sends you, you've had experience with this before, sort of thing.
Ooh. Dick there, isn't it?
It's like, oh yeah, you piss off and kill our other brother. Right, 5 minutes later, oh, we've got like some telepathic communication. What's going on? Oh, never mind, Fungrim just killed Manus. Yeah, I mean, Russ is just general badass, you know. He's like essentially a stereotypical Viking character in a way, sort of sat in his home drinking mead, joking about shit, fish fighting his men
basically. Yeah,
and then with his two wolves, like actual wolves.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Which I recently finished painting.
which look very nice. It's very, very nice.
Yeah, I mean,
what are their names? Do they have names?
Brekkie and Gary.
Brekkie and Gary.
Which are also the name of Odin's two wolves.
So oh, really? Connections. Oh, okay. Right, okay. Right, okay. Fair enough.
Obviously, and then also he comes from the planet Fenris, a reference to Fenrir from Norse mythology as well.
Yes.
Fenrir being the huge-ass wolf, and obviously now Fenris being the planet of wolves, essentially.
giant wolves as well, to be precise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he is a cool character, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the way that... Because Fenris is obviously a death world.
Yep.
And then, you know, it's just him surviving out in this massive... were like wilderness of snow and somehow not freezing. Because I imagine that when they originally crashed onto these planets, they come out of pods. So I'm assuming they have like zero clothing. You know what I mean?
Mm. Or like they're just wearing like, I don't know, like
a loincloth sort of thing.
yeah. Like, yeah, something which is just like...
So he comes out of this pod where he's been kept in what I'm assuming is relatively warm conditions, just into this freezing barren wasteland of nothingness until he finds a tribe of people.
Yeah. You can just see him like getting out, like as a little kid, like I'm gonna walk in this direction,
and then just like, being trained to fight by these bloody like people with little wooden spears, and it's like, oh, what are we defending ourselves from? Oh, that massive wolf over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I can deal with that. Comes back 5 minutes later, he's like, we don't need to fight him. I'm like, what? Yeah, I've got two friends.
But here's Fluffy and here's Scratchy.
It's the fact that he's just such this hardened person that survived this like freezing wasteland of nothingness to like, as you say, find this tribe of like Fenrisians. He then like tames two massive wolves, and then he's like sat in his mead hall like, oh, these are my best friends. So he's just like this badass like guy sat there like, yeah, but I love my dog.
Yeah,
but they're like literally referred to as his brothers.
Oh, he does. He refers to him as his brothers, isn't he? Yeah.
Which
makes
me thinking. I might be wrong. I have a feeling that he actually found the wolves before he found any other people, and that's how he gets taken in by wolves.
Oh, so it's almost like a raised by the wolves. Like, oh, is it Greek or Roman mythology? Is it Romulus and Remus?
Roman.
Yeah. Roman in it.
Yeah.
And then, that's it. I got it back to front. Yeah, he gets taken in by the wolves, and then he finds people, and they're like, what the fuck are you doing with the wolves?
He's like, they're my brothers, bitches. Yeah, but as you said, like, Leman Rush has fought quite a lot of Primarchs, hasn't he? He's fought quite a lot of them.
I think it was the last time we talked, I mentioned how, obviously, each Primarch has their own sort of trait or... you know, whatever you want to call it, where they have specialized things. But when you think of Russ, he has like a lot of the other Primarchs in him, which is why I think he's good at fighting them. If that makes sense?
Yeah. So he's almost like he's been given a little bit of everyone. So then he kind of like, he can almost like, not mimic.
He sort of adapts to them in a way. Yeah, mimics them.
Yeah.
Because he's also like really resistant to like magic or like warp energies or like psychic powers, whatever you want to call them. Which has obviously helped him a lot, being his first, the first fight that you read about is against Magnus, like one of the most powerful sorceresses to ever exist, sort of
ever.
Thing.
Yeah, ever.
Yeah, but it's, you think of like Russ, and he's just kitted out with like a bunch of different weapons. Like he has his sword, he has like an axe, he has a fucking shield on his back. He's like running into, like he's got his like massive bolt pistol. It's like, he's like just ready for everything sort of thing.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, it would be funny if he wants to kill. Yeah. But one thing I do want to mention quickly before we come to a close is the fact is that obviously two things. One, obviously, the whole hoo-ha between him and Lionel Johnson. And also, where is he and where did he go?
What, Russ?
Yeah.
He just walked out into the warp and said, I'm going to go find the rest of the traitors.
I'll be back later for tea.
Because, basically, he like they're all sat in the Fang, which is obviously their like fortress on Fenris, and he takes all of his bodyguard type, you know, his like closest advisors and bodyguards. The
Wolf Guard is it?
The Wolf Guard is slightly different. I've got some upstairs. They're like Vunkrin or something like that, which are his actual bodyguard.
Oh, okay.
And the youngest one of them is Bjorn.
Oh, of course, he gets left behind, doesn't he?
Yeah, so he basically takes them all and tells Bjorn, stay here. He essentially says, the Fang's yours now, like, take command of it sort of thing, and just walks out into, like, the middle of nothingness and just disappears.
Jesus.
But then, obviously, you know, we're having a thing of Primarchs returning at the moment, so he might reappear from the warp at some point.
With several heads of Primarch.
Yeah. Because you sort of know, like, mostly where the Loyalists are. Like, Primarch-wise, like, either they're dead or you know where they are. Because obviously, like, Vonkin died, but he's perpetual, so he comes back and he's, like, never truly actually dead. And then he just goes back.
Yeah.
And then obviously they brought Gulliman back.
Yeah.
Did they magically revive Dawn as well? Because he dies, doesn't he?
No, Dawn's dead, isn't he? Dawn's still dead, isn't he?
Okay, yeah, because obviously he's one of the ones that is actually still alive after the Heresy, but... And then I know he fucks off to fight like a crusade. I don't remember if they brought him back or not after that.
Oh, I don't know. I just know that Dawn dies.
Yeah, he's like, Jagatai Khan essentially does the same as Russ. He's like, right, I'm going to go find him. Bye.
Yeah, because he wanders off into the warp as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, that's been fantastic. Like I said, I'd have done a bit more research into these, but doesn't matter, whatever. It's obviously, but as usual, it's been great to talk to you about Warhammer as normal, because I don't get a lot to talk about Warhammer to people. So yes, thank you for being a guest again on Me, Myself and 40K.
Thank you for having me, because as I say, it's been really fun just talking random shit about all this.
Yeah, as usual, you're more than welcome to be a guest, obviously you in your own time. But yeah, that's kind of interesting though. God, yeah, Russ is a badass, isn't he? Yes. So yeah, thank you very much, and I will leave you to it. And yeah, we'll go to the next part, which will be the quiz. So thank you. And
see you as well.
Yeah. See you, Dan.
See ya.
Right, hello everyone, and I hope you enjoyed the chat along with me. So now he's going to the quizzes with the Mrs., where I quiz my beautiful, my wonderful, my amazing Amber on basically 40K. And what I do is I show her several pictures, so four pictures of models of the 40K range, and then she has to guess what they are. And what I do is I give her three answers, and she has to pick which one is correct. She has two lifelines, which is now eliminate one. So basically eliminate one of the answers, so then she has to pick between two. And also I've changed phone and mum to basically ask a friend, and so she can ask a friend via text, phone, or obviously on Discord, and she can ask one person one of the questions, and then they can get back to her. What I'll do is now I will, there's four questions with three answers, and now what I'll do is I will give you the answers for the four questions. So what you can do is you can pause this, or obviously straight away go to Google or Warhammer Games Workshop website, and then you can look at the individual models themselves, so we know what we're looking at, me and Amber are looking at the time. We're in the next part, which will be the quiz itself. So without further ado, I'll go in order from 1 to 4 and give you the answers to the models. And we are looking today at Adeptus Custodes, so the golden boys of the Emperor of Mankind. So the big sort of people who are basically sentinels and guards and watchers of the Emperor's throne room. And so, because obviously soon the Adeptus Custodes Codex is going to come out. And actually I gave Amber the choice of what she wanted to for a subject. And she actually said, oh, what's new coming out? And I said, Gene Stealer Cults and Adeptus Custodes and obviously Tau, the codexes. And she actually said, I want to do one about Adeptus Custodes. I was like, fair enough. So, Adeptus Custodes. And number question one, the answer is a Virtus Praetorus. Number two is a Blade Champion. Number three is Custodian Wardens. And number four is Captain General Trajan Valorius. They are the four answers for the questions. And so, obviously, like I said, you can go and obviously look at those as we're looking at them, so you know what we're looking at. And then next is the quiz itself. And welcome to the best part of this podcast, which is the quizzes with the Mrs., where I test the knowledge of the 40K universe with my most beautiful, my amazing, my wonderful, no other than Amber. Hi, Amber.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
You hate me doing that, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. How are you? Did you have a nice Christmas with me? Because obviously we spent Christmas together.
Yeah, I did. It was nice.
Yeah, it was. We went to my parents, didn't we? And it was interesting.
It was nice.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a very nice meal, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Food was awesome. Food is the best part of Christmas.
It is indeed. And drink.
Yeah. That's my chair, by the way.
Yeah, I noticed your chair.
It's very creaky. Yeah, it was good. It was nice. Time with family and then time to ourselves, which was nice.
Mm.
And those dogs. So
Yeah, there were two dogs, wasn't there? It was my granddad's dog and those my sister's dog.
Yeah.
Joy. We met Joy for the first
time.
Joy
is lovely.
And she is a joy.
She is a joy.
Joy is a joy. So I know there was no 40K as well, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. It was great because obviously there wasn't a lot coming out over that period of time as well. So there wasn't much Warhammer talk, actually.
No.
So, yeah, it was a break from all things Norm.
All things
Work
Norm.
Work and Warhammer was put on hold.
Ember.
Let me just watch this YouTube video that's 15 minutes long talking about one specific model. Yeah.
That's kind of like my podcast.
No, it's not. It's not about one model.
Nah.
But yeah, it was good. I hope everyone listening had a good break as well. And if you didn't, if you're working through it, then, you know,
fair
good on
you.
Fair play to you. So yeah, first quiz of the year.
First quiz of
Let's go.
Year. Yeah, so as you probably might know, is the next coaches coming out are Gene Stealer Cults, so the dribblies ones that like to do weird stuff to humans, and then also the Adeptus Custodes, so the Emperor's Golden Boys.
Yeah, I did know.
Oh, you did know?
Because you told me.
Okay. So yeah, I asked you, also Tao as well. Who cares about Tao? So I asked you, what would you like to be quizzed on? And you actually said, well, what's new coming out?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, and I said, oh, these, and these. And you're like, I want to be quizzed on Custodes.
Yeah.
And I was like, fair play. You made a decision. I'm going to stick with it.
Executive decision.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So go.
So do you know what an Adeptus Custode is?
It's people in gold armor.
Yep. Not always in gold armor, by the way.
Well, then every picture I see, they're in gold armor.
Yep, they are.
That's about it, really.
Okay.
So
I'll give you a little lay down as usual. So, yes, so Adeptus Custodes are literally, they are like space marines, because obviously they have been given a genetics from the Emperor himself and the Primarchs, sort of thing. But I think the difference between Adeptus Custodes is, because obviously there's only so many, I think there's a few hundred thousands of them, but there's not a lot of them left, but they're the sole bodyguards for the Emperor himself. So they stand vigil over basically Terra.
Okay.
And it's only in the last sort of few hundred years, I believe, from what I know from the stories of 40K recently, is now they've been allowed to leave Terra and go on crusades and things and help other Imperiums. But they are quite big. I mean, they are bigger than Astartes and Primaris Space Marines or Astartes. And they are very, very muscular. They're huge. But for instance, they're actually one of the probably most sneakiest. They can fight by themselves. They're trained to fight singly, even though, so it's kind of strange to see them in big mobs of armies and stuff like that. So they have all kinds of weird trials, like to be like a custodian, you have to go through this. I think it's called the blood trials, where you have to try and get into the Emperor's chamber and try and kill him. However, you're not posted. You know, it's almost it's called the blood games, because it's like showing you that you can be a really good custodian. Trying to kill your own leader.
Oh, okay.
It's weird, I know, it's weird. But then it kind of, that puts an emphasis on the custodians being vigilant and trying to stop these blood, the challenges to go on. So yeah, that's what a Adeptus Custode. And yeah, normally they wear golden armor.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are, because they're going to be called shields. I think their organization is called, I'm not very good at Adeptus Custodes, I don't know much about them. But they're called shields or shield hosts, I think. So that the golden ones are a particular type of faction. And then there's the other two where they wear white armor and they wear black armor. Now, I like the ones in black armor, obviously, because, you know, I like everything in black. But yeah, because they've got different names. I think the white ones are called Solar Watt, and the black ones, I think they're Shadow Keepers, I think they're called. So yeah, they've got different names for the different sort of factions or watches, as it were. I haven't laughed down for about 6 minutes. So shall we get to the quiz itself?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so obviously I've sent you the pictures.
Yeah.
First, yeah, is a full unit, and also I've given you a picture of a single one as well. So these are custodies on basically mounts, as it were, mounted custodies. So do you want to describe it for us?
Gold space marine guy sitting on a golden hover bike thing with long spears.
Pretty much, yeah, that narrows it down to one.
Yep. And they have red little tassel-y bits on their head. Is that the hair or is it like a...
That's like a plume.
Plume, that's what I'm after, yeah. So yeah, I have to say these are not for me at all. This is like the epitome of what I hate.
Yeah, golden armor. I hate anything with lots of golden or gold or silver
gold,
armor.
Like...
Yeah, I hate custodies. I don't like grey knights because they're all silver.
I thought you liked grey knights.
Mm.
You wanted grey knights. You went through a phase where you're like, I want
grey. Well, I was going to paint them grey. Not silver. Okay. I was actually going to say they actually are grey now. I was going to paint them grey.
Okay. Anyway, options.
So, are these fellas, are they Alarius Veluxes? Are they Aquilius Custodes? Or are they C, Virtus Petoras?
No idea. That was just a bit lame.
They mean absolutely nothing, don't they?
Well, obviously I'm drawn to B because it has cust in it. Custodes in it.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's there to throw me off.
It could be a rouge. Or it could be correct.
I'm going to go A.
A?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Alarius. I can't even say it myself. Alarius Velarix.
Oh, but now I feel like you can't say it. So
well, no, because my dyslexia is just...
Oh, I'll go with it. Yeah, sure.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Positive?
Yep.
Oh, that's
a shame.
They're actually C. Virtus Petoras. So basically, they're just custodes mounted on jet bikes. Right. Dawn Eagle jet bikes. And they have their lances. And I can't remember what the lances are called, but yeah. So basically, the one thing you need to know about these is that I know that hover technology is almost like banned in the Imperium.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of... Oh, apart from stuff that's already like in use. So these are already in use. So it's very, very rare for the Imperium to use hover technology.
Oh, okay.
And it's only just came back Primaris vehicles now because they think it's useful.
Mm.
But anything like that's not already been made is not allowed to be used.
Oh.
So it's very rare to see that kind of stuff in the Imperium, as it were. So they're very... And also they're used for like scouts, and they're used for like, obviously like running down prey and stuff like that as well. So they're very... very hunterish.
Ew.
Yes.
Fancy.
Yes. So number two is this gentleman. He's actually a new model.
He looks exactly the same as the others.
I know.
He does. They all look the same.
Exactly the same.
He's just got a sword instead of a spear.
Yep.
That's literally, like, they look exactly the same.
Yep.
Okay, go on then.
Yeah, so basically, you know, describe him?
I just have. Gold space marine looking guy with a red plume. And instead of his spear, he has a blue sword. And he looks like he's running, trying to be a samurai. Like, you know. It's the same shit.
It's the same shit. Okay.
Go on. How much is this model? Go on, tell us.
It's a single model, so...
Well, 20 quid.
Well, I don't know if it's... Well, it's coming in the new Shadow Throne set, which is like 100 and something quid. So that's like Custodes versus Gene Stiller. As that's the only place you can get that model at the moment. But yes, he's a new character. So he's a new HQ character. So Matt might help you out.
All right.
Okay. So is he A? Is he a Blade Champion?
Mm.
Or is he B, a Blade Guard?
Mm.
Or is he C, the Emperor's Champion?
Emperor's Champion. Oh,
why is that funny?
I'm not saying it on podcast.
Okay.
HQ, they're like, ugh, it's not going to be a Blade Guard then, because they're quite fancy smancy, aren't they, if they're HQ. I'm going A again.
You're going to go A again? Yeah. Oh, God, okay, right. Are you sure?
Yep.
You sure he's a Blade Champion?
Yep.
Not the Empress Champion?
Nope.
Okay, I've counted you down then. I don't like the count now, actually.
No, I don't like it. I'm nervous.
Yeah, it's a bit shit, yeah. So, yeah. Ding! It is correct. He is a Blade Champion. So he is the new HQ choice for the Geptus Custodes. And he is almost like a lieutenant for the Custodes, equivalent to Space Marines. He's picked out because of he's really good at swordsmanship. And he, with the new model, he actually has three different styles of fighting, which one is to fight basically monsters and vehicles, one to fight hordes of crap, and the other one to basically kill leaders. And actually his job as a Blade Champion is to almost like Space Marine Company champions seek out leaders, fight them.
Okay.
And obviously his job is basically to seek out, you know, the enemy leader and just basically kick the shit out of them, kill him.
Okay.
And obviously that job, if he's seeking out the leader, the captain general, or the shield captain is sort of free to, you know, like give orders and stuff as well. So it's quite a big job, as it were. So yeah. So well done.
Thank you.
Uno correcto. So go on to the next one, number three, which is a unit again. So what have we got there? Please say it. Go on. The same shit.
The exact same shit. Right, okay, to
are you hearing this Games Workshop? The exact same shit.
Oh, I feel really bad because if there's any people that like Custodes listening, like, I feel a little bit bad. To give them credit, their headpiece is slightly different here. It's more cone-like.
Yes.
And they have a little swishy, sashy skirt on.
They also have different weapons.
Yeah, hang on.
Sorry, I'm finished.
And instead of spears or swords, they have almost like Warhammer axes and almost like a chainsaw here, but it's not. But it's that type of thing.
Yeah, they're cool.
Anyway, go on, tell me about...
They're vigil spears. Vigil spears.
So
it's a spear, but also it's got a bolter on it as well.
Two in one.
But also the other ones, the axes, I can't remember what the axes are called now, but I actually prefer the axes.
They're quite cool. Yeah, I will give them that. All right, go on.
Right. So I'll give you an indication, because obviously you don't have a clue about Custodes. So these are an elite choice of elite Custodes. They're a little bit more fancy than a normal Custodes.
Oh, they also have little daggers.
Yes, they are. I can't remember what they're called. Are they skins of an M? Skins of an M. It's like a power knife, basically.
Oh, okay.
But to you or me, it'll be like a whole sword.
Oh, okay. Go on then.
Right. So are these gentlemen custody executioners?
Ooh, I like that.
Or are they custody wardens?
Really?
Or are they custodian sentinels?
Oh, I like sentinel. Executioners sound good with their act.
It could be a name.
Can you eliminate one, please?
Ooh, okay. I'm gonna roll a die.
Roll a die.
So
see what happens.
Okay. Okay. All right. We are gonna eliminate custodian executioners.
No. Oh, is it gonna be the lame one that I've just said?
It's gonna be the lame one.
Is it gonna be wardens after this? Oh, I'm going with sentinels just because wardens is so lame.
Even though it could be correct.
It's correct. GW, I renamed them for you. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Royalties, please. You're going with say sentinels.
I feel like they're going to ban me from their shop. Like, all you do is diss us. Get out. Yeah, I'm going with sentinels. It's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's wardens.
It is.
Hello, everyone. We're the elite class. We're called wardens.
We're the wardens.
They're not in a prison, are they?
Kind of. Because what they do is, these custodian wardens, yeah, they have the axes, but what they do is they are almost like watchers of like the vaults and things in the, wherever it is, the terror. Okay. Where, you know, like, and so they're actually almost like unsleeping sort of like watchers or wardens, as it were, of certain vaults and stuff like that. Yeah.
Would you buy these if they were called sentinels rather than wardens?
Though? Yeah, you'd be of course, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, executioners.
Executioners, yeah.
Sentinels sound a lot better with their role that they do, because they're like, they have to stand over and do shit.
Oh, forget your coding. Get working for GW. Put them in line
until.
And then, you could have, like, instead of, like, I don't know, you know, they do, like, you know, for idea generation, that like, have certain formats they do it. You just have Bring an Amber. She'll tie you if it's
that's shit. That's okay. Oh, that's pretty good. That's shit.
I get paid to just come in. Oh, be amazing.
You get paid to tell her all their ideas are crap.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Right. On. Last one. Can you redeem yourself?
Let's see.
So this gentleman is obviously a character for the Custodes. Probably the only. There's two actually. There's only two named characters because they're lame. However, what is this gentleman's name?
Don't know.
So, is he A, Lord Commander Castellan Creed?
Ooh, Creed, I see.
Mm. Is he Captain General Trajan Valoris?
Captain General, bloody hell.
Or is he Emperor's Chosen General Valerian? Sorry, I'm really bad at...
No, I don't want the pressure. I'm going to do my... new redemption.
Go for it. Ask a friend.
Asking a friend. I'm going to ask my friend that's waiting for me.
Mr. Mikey.
Right. I might call him.
He's actually doing it. Cool.
Hello?
Hello. You are on a podcast.
Hey, Mikey.
Oh, hi, Robin.
You're on Me, Myself, and 40K with Amber and me in the quizzes with the Mizzers.
Yay.
Oh. This is amazing.
Yeah, so I'll just run you down, Mikey. I always do. So Amber gets two sort of lifelines, almost like basically what was it?
Millionaire.
And so she has eliminate one from the questions, and also she used to have phone a mum, but she didn't like phoning a mum because obviously we used to do it like late at night. So it's now changed to ask a friend, and she's asking you as a friend to help her with a question. So I think she sent you the picture of what she's seeing. And she has to decide from three answers what it could be. Okay, I'll read them out, and then obviously you can decide which one, or give Amber sort of like help, as it were.
I'll try my best.
All right. So you've seen the picture, have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So who is this gentleman? Is he A, Lord Commander Castellan Creed? Is he B, Captain General Trajan Valoris? Or is he C, the Emperor's Chosen General Valerian?
With the fact he looks quite important, I'd say he's the chosen general. Like, his axe looks very unique. I don't know, Valerian, that just sounds similar to do like Game of Thrones similar. And all I can think of is the bird, maybe. I'm not that big on Warhammer, I don't know much, but that's what I'm going to do to help.
Yay! Okay.
Thank you very much, Mikey.
Thank you, Mikey.
Okay, I'll try my best, hope it's right.
Bye! Bye!
That's awesome. Right, so he thinks it's C.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
I don't think it's C. Well, right, two things. First, your spelling has Castellan rather than Castellian. So I don't know if it's a spelling mistake.
Me saying it.
And you saying it.
It's me saying it. That's how it's spelled.
Oh, Castellan. All right. But so I'd go with that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel I should go with what Mikey says because I've gone to the effort of calling him. So if it's wrong, it's on Mikey, not me.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
I'm only joking, but I want
to. But not B at all, not Captain General.
No, I don't like Captain General. I don't know why, I just don't ring right. So I'm going to go with C because my friend says so.
Going to go with C.
But my second choice would be A.
Okay, right, okay. So C, Emperor's Chosen General Valerian. I'm okay. And we'll go for A as well.
Is that too?
It's
B.
It is actually B, Captain General Trajan Valoris. So Captain General is the highest rank in the custodies.
Oh, okay.
So that's almost like the chapter master slash sort of captain slash whatever. However, the Emperor's Chosen, General Valerian. Valerian is actually, that's mad, but Valerian is actually the other name character for the custodies. He's a shield captain.
Sneaky.
And then Lord Commander Castellan Creed is actually a general for the Imperial Guard.
You're harsh. You don't even make them up anymore. You just throw other models in there. Bloody hell. Oh well. I quite liked calling a friend. That was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, and Mikey said that was fun.
It could literally be, you could change it to not ask a friend, ask a Mikey.
Ask a Mikey.
Well, 1 out of 3, but then it was against the Adeptus Custodes, who are Golden Boy, and yeah, I mean, I'm very vague on Custodes because I just don't like them at all. I like the concept of them, but I just don't like them as models and stuff.
No, I don't think I'd get excited painting them. Oh God, it's not my thing.
Spraying gold and painting gold all the time. No, thank you.
Which, I mean, I'm sure painted, when they're painted really nicely, they'll look great. And I think I have to kind of say sometimes, like, I'm slating all this, but I don't know anything. I'm just slating it because it's funny, not because I have anything against anyone playing anything.
Yeah, I'm saying it because I think it's fine and funny, and also I'm having a go at them because I can.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and just because I don't like Space Marines, that's just exactly. my yeah. opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. That was fun.
Well done. I mean, to be fair, for a subject which you'd have no clue about, fair play.
It's a bit fun, isn't it? I don't expect to get them all right. I've only done it once or twice. So. Yeah,
Dark Angels, you know. Through and through.
Yeah, but if you gave me that quiz again, you'd be like, I wouldn't know.
Sod it.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, yeah, well, thank you very much. As usual, like I said, I find the quiz probably the most funnest part of the podcast, and obviously I can do it with you. So obviously, yes, it's the best part.
Oh, you're so cute.
But anyway, thank you again. And obviously, yes, Happy New Year to everyone. And I hope, obviously, this new year will be fantastic for everyone. Well, a lot better from last year.
Don't jinx it. Don't say what you want to say. Yeah, let's hope it's a better year. Yeah, yes. Some exciting things, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. And obviously, it's a big thank you for me, and obviously a big thank you for Amber. And obviously, you can get in touch with me of all the contacts as usual. So we're obviously on Anchor, on Twitter and obviously on my email if everyone wants to email me. And obviously, I'll give it again if everyone doesn't know, but it is on the details on the Anchor website itself anyway. However, but if you want to email me for anything at all, questions, answers for things, or if you want to ask questions or anything, I'm more than happy to ask questions on lore, on things of Warhammer. So if you want to, it's and that's me, myself, 40k at gmail.com. And it's all lowercase. 40k is 40k, and the and is actually and, not the special character. Okay, so yeah, that's a goodbye from me. And a goodbye from you, Amber.
Bye.
And we'll see you next time on Me, Myself, and 40K. Bye now.